Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
Let's go racing here at Knoxville.
Only the best go three of
it is showtime at Williams Grove Speedway.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, here at Eldora Speedway, it's showtime.
You've got a horror rep, often imitated, never duplicated, the greatest show on dirt, the world of outlaws.
It's time to sit back, relax, and enjoy, because ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime!
Set to do battle for 30 laps. The green flag is waving.
Hello again. Welcome in. It's Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit. Talking sprint car racing, our favorite time of the week, and we are so glad that you have joined us. Steve Post and Aaron Evernham as we roll through a rainy still to some degree month of April. But, you know, we're getting a few races in along the way.
Yeah, we definitely got a few races. I mean, it was a nice, well, rainy Sunday here, but I did get to do a lot of streaming this weekend. I caught a lot of races.
There we go.
Good.
Caught up with it a little bit. Everything else good in the Evernham household, the horse show family, everything else good?
Yeah, we had a weekend off of horse showing. So, you know, actually 2 weekends off. So,
well, that's good. So that Ray can develop the IROC series again so you can fill those weekends.
Yes, and we can make the money to continue the horses. It's all a big cycle.
Well, there's that. Exactly. Exactly. I thought that was cool. Obviously, it's been cool what Ray has done with IROC.
Yeah.
But it's cool now that there's actually a date
and
like stuff happening here now.
Yeah,
I mean, it's been stuff happening.
And there's merch. I'm excited about
there's merch. Yes,
absolutely. Like, I need some of that merch.
Yeah. So it's cool. So it's really exciting. I always think back when Steve Kinzer and Danny Lasoski both got the run with IROC. I thought that was really neat when they both raced with it. So
I love the concept. And the reception's been huge. Social media, you know, everyone in the racing world seems really excited. And since they even announced Lime Rock Park and it's July 19th and 20th, there's been a lot of people that have reached out that want to come, people that want to enter their cars, the people that have old IROC cars. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be neat. It's going to be like the,
it's very sports car-y, where you bring your own IROC car, you know, if you have one and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, and this is, I mean, Ray could obviously tell you more, but this is the beginning stages of it. Hopefully it develops into something like a real old IROC series. But for now, it's this reunion of getting all these cars. I mean, I think Ray owns half of them right now.
Yeah,
or I should say we own them. I just don't really see them all rolling in the shop. But when I go up there, I'm like, what's this one?
What's this one? Where's this?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a good thing the old deal still works. So like every new car that comes in, I get a pair of shoes.
So, right. You know, new car, new shoes. So exactly. It's a fair deal.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The shoe collection is growing.
Yeah. A little bit.
Awesome. Well, good stuff. That's for sure. Fun weekend of racing. We're going to start off with the highest paying race. And that was not World of Outlaw or High Limit Racing. That was up in central Pennsylvania. The Weldon Sterner Memorial, this was postponed. They had like two or three rainouts last year. And so this was postponed from last year to this year. $20,000. And Anthony Macri, who we're going to talk to in a little bit.
Yeah.
Anthony Macri rolled to the win. It was a flag-to-flag win. But, man, he looks stout, that's for sure.
He really does. I mean, you know, obviously one with High Limit, but coming back to PA, he's... he's going to be tough to beat anywhere he goes this year.
I think so. I really do. And I talked a little bit about it last week, and I look forward. I talked about him developing into a complete driver. I'm going to ask him where he thinks he is because he is – it's obvious the young man has really gone to work because he has really developed into something special. So Anthony Macri, Freddie Raymer, Lucas Wolf, your top three. Good to see Lucas Wolf up there in the third spot. So good stuff. World of Outlaw, NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars, Aaron, a couple of different runs for the World of Outlaws.
Yeah, they started Friday night at Paducah, the International Raceway. It was the last time they visited was 2012, and Sheldon Hodenshiel got his 37th career win. And he's 20th on the all-time lists. That, to me, seems crazy. Sheldon doesn't, again, seem old enough to have that many wins.
Right, exactly. And here's the thing, I think, with Sheldon is we were like, where is he at, you know? He's at a pretty good spot. Last year, for the whole year, they had three wins. He's at 3 wins right now on this season. And we had Sheldon on a couple weeks ago, and he talked about how good he felt about the program right
now. Yeah, and how they had almost gone back to the package from the previous season, and obviously it's working.
Obviously working very, very well. Sheldon, Bill Balog, who is quietly putting together, well, not necessarily quietly, a lot of people are talking about him, the North Pole Nightmare, he finished second, and Michael Kofoid, Buddy Kofoid, finished third. Saturday night at Tri-State Speedway in Hobstadt, boy, I'll tell you what, Brady Bacon's got this joint figured out, doesn't he?
He sure does. This is one that we tuned in and watched. It was a fun race to watch. That place is such a small little bullring paperclip, and it's challenging. And, you know, Ray was asking me questions about, like, you know, why does it fit Brady Bacon's driving style so much? You know, you're racing with a World of Outlaws. You think someone's going to figure it out. But for whatever it is, Brady does have it, you know, whether it's setup, driving style, a combination, he's got it figured out.
I mean, it was good. It was a really tight race for a while. And you're like, okay, here comes lap traffic. And Brady just buried him in lap traffic.
He did. Buried gravel. Like, that's not an easy accomplishment.
Buried David Gravel in lap traffic. So, really good. So, Brady Bacon, David Gravel, and Michael Buddy Kofoid again.
Another one. And a lot of top fives.
A lot of top fives and a little drama over there as well on Friday night. A little excitement between him and David Gravel. So, stay tuned. It's going to be interesting to see a lot of angst and anxiety out the course of the season.
Yeah.
High Limit Racing, they spent a couple of nights in Oklahoma. Friday night, Southern Oklahoma Speedway. I was thinking about this, okay? We had talked so much about High Limits, Brad, Rico, and Kyle Larson. And I think they hadn't won nearly what
they thought they were going to win. For sure.
Well, then that changed this weekend.
Yeah.
Brad Sweet, his 10th start with High Limits, picked up the win over Tyler Courtney and Spencer Baston, and then he was back at it again on Saturday night.
Yeah, he sure was. And that was speaking of controversy, I think if you're watching, you'll see it here soon. But a little altercation with James McFadden, but he got another win.
Well, a little altercation with James McFadden, unless you're James McFadden, and it was an airplane flight.
Yeah, he flew out of there.
I think we take for granted. I don't think we understand how fast these cars are.
Yeah.
And then when you see something like that, it gets your attention.
Yeah, and if you actually probably measured how long he was in the air from takeoff to landing, I would guess that was somewhere 40 feet, 50 feet. I mean, it was far.
Unreal.
Probably didn't feel too good either.
No, it probably didn't. Brad Sweet, Brent Marks, and Rico Abreu, your top three. Other winners, how about this? Danny Smith just keeps right on.
It's a gazillionth consecutive season with a win.
Yes, it's a gazillion and a half now, Aaron. He keeps winning.
With that new paint scheme.
With the new paint scheme, exactly. Tim Estenson, Brandon Spithaler, Dylan Cisney at Port Royal, Ricky Peterson, Cale Thomas, Casey Busch, okay? Selinsgrove, I like this. Austin Bishop picked up the win on Sunday. They allowed dish wings. And so a couple of guys put dish wings on. But for the Sora Koch Racing Team, it's their first win. That's the number 35.
Yeah.
It's their first win since 2012.
Wow.
So good stuff. We had the ASCS kickoff reignited, kicked off Seth Bergman, who was going to run the full season, but picked up the ride with Wayne Johnson's car because Wayne got injured down at High Limits. Seth Bergman picked up the win, kind of picked up where he left off when he came off the tour. Well, he won a couple races last year, but Seth is so good on this stuff. He's going to be a handful. That's going to be fun to see. And then I got a chance Friday night to catch up with USCS.
Did you get to go over there?
I got to go over there, and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. picked up the win over great program with the World of Outlaw Case Construction late models.
Yep.
So good stuff. Lots and lots of racing. Still some rainouts along the way, but lots and lots of good racing for sure. And just a fun weekend.
Yeah.
And always fun. Caught up with my buddy Terry Gray. He was busting me about my hair. Get my hair cut. He's always, talked to Ricky a little bit, talked to some of the other guys a little bit. It was good to see Chase Briscoe out there running again.
Yep.
So really fun, but when I got done, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. was the class of the field. So they had a rain delay in the middle of it and a little rain shower. It was one of those nights.
Oof, and it was red clay.
Oh, yeah. It was one of those nights. Talladega short track has been like, I've never left there like happy. And so usually there's 17 divisions in sprint cars.
Yeah.
This time it was just World of Outlaw late models and sprint cars. So I'm like, okay, good. And the World of Outlaws did a split feature format, so they didn't even have heat races. But then we had a rain delay. So it was still the same result. But not out of, everyone did what they were supposed to do. Yeah. It still was a late night. But all good. And so kudos to all the race winners. So we are going to talk a little bit later on. It is Knoxville opening weekend. Fingers crossed that the weather cooperates. I'm headed that way because I can't wait to get out there. And, oh, by the way, the World of Outlaws roll in for the season opener. Yeah, time to
get
right
up speed. 230 loads of new dirt on the surface.
Yes, absolutely. So we're going to talk to the reigning champ, Austin McCarl, and we're going to talk to Anthony Macri. And so when we come back, Anthony Macri will be first up. He'll join us on the Sage Fruit Hotline.
Tony, do you even remember how to drive one of these?
It's not something you forget. You should know that. The drive to succeed, the need to win, the desire to be a champion. And we surround ourselves with partners that believe the same. Like Tony Stewart Racing, Sage Fruit strives to be the best in all they do. They work hard on the farm, in the packing facilities, and with their retail partners to provide high-quality apples and pears all year long.
You can compare apples to apples, but nothing compares to a Sage Fruit apple.
Winning quality in every bite.
Welcome back. It is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit, and let's go to the Sage Fruit Hotline. Joining us fresh off from that trip at the fabulous Lincoln Speedway to Victory Lane, the Concrete Kid, Anthony Macri. Hello, Anthony. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We are doing well. The phrase is home cooking. So you got back to home cooking, but you have to go to the bank as well. Has to be very rewarding for you. Or how rewarding for you is it to roll back into Lincoln and win the first Pennsylvania big money event of the weekend, the Walden Sterner Memorial? How rewarding is that?
It's definitely pretty rewarding. I mean, in the sense that how hard Joe and Nate and Kyle and, you know, everyone's been working. It's just, on the road isn't exactly a cakewalk sometimes. So, driving 18 hours from Texas to Pennsylvania, I think we're all a little droggy come the weekend. But, it's just all hard work kind of paid off. And, it's special to get a win of that, size. I mean, 20,000 is a lot of money. So, it's just, it's good, and we have a lot of momentum going so far this year, and I think we're all just kind of working hard to keep the momentum going.
Anthony, I listened to your interview with Jeremy Elliott after the race, and one of the things I thought was interesting is you talked about coming home and having that expectation to perform since you've been on the road. Just, I wanted you to elaborate a little bit more on that. I mean, obviously, you're running extremely well. You already have 5 wins this season, but where does that pressure come from? Is that just self-induced? Is it the fans? Is it the team? Like, what is it that you have that expectation when you're back home in PA you need to perform?
I'd have to say it's kind of self-induced. Obviously, in my head, the win in Texas against the high limit, that was a pretty big win for us. So, I mean, to get a win of that caliber and then coming home, I mean, I'm not saying the caliber of racing in PA is any less, but, to get a good win like that on the road and then come home, me and myself, I don't want to be, running the B main or running 10th in the feature. So, then I seen, Jeremy's 90-9 in the morning and, talking about how we're coming home and how he expects to, how he expects us to run well. So, I see that stuff and then I know how well I want to run and I know what my expectations are and I know what, Joe and my dad's expectations are. So, I don't know. I just kind of start worrying when the weekend's coming because obviously I want to do well. And, Saturday was a really big night. I mean, it was the first big night in PA. So, we all wanted to win. Obviously the money and the race itself. I mean, there was a lot of big names of drivers that have won the race. So to be able to put my name on that list of drivers that have won races, a pretty special thing in itself.
You talked about it from an emotional standpoint or from a pressure to yourself standpoint, Anthony, but from a nuts and bolts and mechanical standpoint, getting out to run with the best in the country, whether it's High Limit or World of Outlaw, and then bringing even that wisdom, that knowledge, what you got to learn, how important is that for you from a technical standpoint, from a nuts and bolts standpoint with you and Joe and Nate and everybody on the team to compete against that level and get your car performing well?
I mean, it's huge. Anytime you can run outside of PA and, you know, expand your notebook per se. It's really big. I mean, you see different tracks and different conditions, and you know, Joe and I, you know, the learning curves are still there. I mean, you know, at Red Dirt or whatever, we didn't exactly have the best of nights, and it was one of those nights where Joe and I kind of just, you know, tried some stuff come feature time just to try and get better. I mean, obviously it didn't work out that well, but you know, just being out on the road, it, you know, you learn a lot of stuff that, you know, you can take back home, and you know, it just makes the car better in ways. And you know, I feel like my driving kind of gets better on the road, because you know, the race with the Outlaws and the High Limit, you have to be on like kill mode every single lap. So one mistake could be, you know, the difference between running a top five or running 11th, because, you know, once you get out of a rhythm and you know, two or three cars get by you, it kind of startles you. So, I mean, you have to be on top of your game, you know, mentally racing and physically racing. So it's just, it's really big to race outside of PA, and I don't know. It's just, you learn a lot of different stuff on the road, and it obviously pays off when we come back home.
That's for sure. Anthony, another takeaway I had from that interview with Jeremy Elliott was you talked about how much fun you're having, and you and Joe and Nade have almost like a brotherhood, I think you use as a term. I mean, it's no secret that not long ago you went through some transitions and I'm sure a lot of emotions. How important is it for you at this point in your career to now be having fun with it and winning races? Like, that seems like you're now in a really, really good place.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I wasn't having, you know, fun before all the changes and stuff. Is just back to the whole, you know, putting too much pressure on myself. I've learned to, you know, kind of back off on that. I mean, I kind of wore myself out on the whole, you know, expectations on myself. But, you know, over the off season, I mean, all three of us working in the shop, I mean, it's, we see each other every day, so we're either going to become best friends or we're not going to be able to stand each other come Florida. But everything just kind of clicked in the shop in the off season. I mean, there's not many days where we're not all laughing at something at some point throughout the day. So, I mean, anytime everybody's loving and enjoying what they're doing, it's really huge. I mean, you got to be able to, you know, have fun at what you're doing and, you know, just enjoy it. I mean, Charlie Garrett, he has many, many sayings that have kind of stuck with me. And, you know, one of his sayings was, you got to love what you're doing to be any good at it. So, you know, if you're not enjoying what you're doing, then the success is not going to be there. And I think all three of us are just honestly having a really good time. And obviously the good runs are helping that situation. But, I mean, even on the bad nights, it's just, we always, you know, kind of find a way to, you know, laugh about something to make the pain of the night a little bit worse. But, I don't know. It's just, we're all having fun and everything's clicking.
Good on you, man. That is awesome. That is for sure. Anthony, last week, I got thinking about this. Of course, we saw you early in your career. You'd go up to Port Royal. You'd put that right rear on the wall. And I don't mean by the wall. I mean on the wall. And then I go last year to the High Limit race at 34, and you're tiptoeing around the bottom, braking and gassing and manning that. Then I go to Texas earlier this year, a couple weeks ago, and you just get into a brawl with Tyler, where, you know, you've got a technical racetrack. Turn two was crazy, and yet you gotta go to war with one of the best in the business, Tyler. My point last week was, I think what I see, you're evolving into a very diverse, great sprint car driver, and those are the successful ones. How do you feel like yourself, and how hard have you worked to develop those other skill sets beyond banging the boards at Port Royal, which you initially were known for?
I'd say I definitely learned to tone down on the banging on the wall at Port Royal, just because obviously there were some big races that were lost because of yeah. that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously, you know, races aren't always going to be won on the top. Sometimes you have to come down to the bottom. And I mean, you watch videos and you see, you know, guys, you just see guys running the bottom and, you know, how efficient they are at doing it. And, you know, me, myself, I knew that was something I had to, you know, learn to, kind of take my driving to the next level. So, you know, I just kind of, you know, focused a little bit more on being able to, you know, run the bottom better and what I had to do and, you know, talk to a couple of other drivers as to, you know, what they do when they run the bottom. And, you know, the biggest thing is we kind of got our brake package to a point where I really like it and it works for me. And, you know, as hard as I drive it into the corner, I need something to shut the car down on a dime. So, you know, Will Wood and, you know, Dave at Will Wood, he's been a huge part of that. So I think anytime he gets a phone call from him, he probably doesn't want to answer the phone, but, you know, he really got our brake program to a point where, I like it and it, you know, suits my driving style and how I have to, you know, slow the car down to run the bottom. And, you know, Joe obviously gives me a really good car to run the bottom. And, as far as the rough tracks, I've kind of always liked the rough tracks just because you got to be crazy to some extent. So, you know, so the rough tracks don't really bother me other than, you know, physically sometimes. I mean, yeah. I think the last five laps of the feature in Texas, I held my breath, which is a bad habit of mine. I get all wound up and I hold my breath for a couple laps and then obviously I get winded. But, you know, just to be racing with Tyler, I mean, obviously he's one of the best, if not the best car in the country right now. So, you know, to pass him, you know, you have to keep him behind you then. And obviously the way the track was coming out of turn two, you didn't really exactly know where your car was going to go. You just hoped it went in the right direction. So, I don't know. It's just, you know, it goes back to being on the road and seeing different, you know, tracks and situations. And you kind of just put it in your mental notebook and, just calm down and you know, calm down in the right situations and drive smart
and breathe and breathe.
That follows and
yeah,
has so far.
I'll tell you what, I laughed when I thought about it. You're holding your breath. I'd be holding my breath and closing my eyes. That's the problem I would have with it. Yeah. Aaron, you ever hold your breath and close your eyes when you were racing?
And try not to close my eyes.
Do you ever hold your breath?
Yeah. You know, the one time that really sticks out, which is not even in a sprint car, was qualifying the first time I ran Bristol in a truck.
Oh, wow.
I'll never forget. They're like, you got to remember to breathe. And I'm like, I never had that problem. And sure enough, I like completely forgot to breathe. Bristol's a little intimidating your first time around it. So yeah, it certainly happens. But I wasn't winning races like Anthony, so I didn't have to hold my breath that much.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So looks like this weekend, Central Pennsylvania, Williams Grove, they got 15 grand at Port Royal and Baps. Is that the game plan for this weekend, Anthony?
Yeah, we'll run all three this weekend at, you know, the Grove, Port, and Baps, and then I believe the weekend after that we're at Eldora with the Outlaws. So just kind of working in the shop right now to get ready for the three-day weekend and, you know, crossing our T's and dotting our I's to hopefully have another good weekend.
I'll tell you what, you talk about the joy you're having, the fun you're having on it. We're having a blast watching you. I mean, The racing, what you guys are putting on, that race, I'm telling you, that race at Texas, I'm sitting in the stands, I'm losing my mind watching you and Sunshine go at each other. And what you did in turn number three, I'm telling you what, that was so impressive. It really was. So, Anthony, congratulations on the success, the great start to the season. We appreciate the time joining us here on Wing Nation, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All righty. Thank you.
There we go. The Concrete Kid, Anthony Macri, joining us here on the Sage Fruit Hotline. Man, oh man, he is rolling.
He is rolling. And I mean, I obviously don't know Anthony well, but he seems very relaxed and in a good place. You know, he's very chatty and open. And
I think
love
that's
that.
The one thing we learned last year. And Jacob Allen talked a lot more about it than Anthony did. Okay. With the struggle of this and Jacob talked about the struggles and getting into a proper spot and Anthony alluded to it. And I think he had a post talking about it and that sort of thing. But you think about this, if you're not, this is a brutal business. This is not a tough business. This is a brutal business.
Yes.
And this business will spit you, it will cut you up, chop you out, and spit you out in an instant and not even care. And then if you're a guy like Anthony that internally takes it, as he said, and puts all the pressure, I can imagine. I can imagine. Yeah. And it's just so good to hear Anthony in the just talking like
the tone,
he does.
Yeah.
The tone. Yep. The tone is just so good. And 20 races, 5 wins. Aaron, you're the engineer. I'm just a dumb radio guy, but that's batting 250 on wins.
Yeah, exactly. You're winning 25% of your races. It's impressive. And I think, like, with that tone, with the success they're having, I feel like he's going to be fun to watch. We said it before when we started the show.
Yep.
They better watch out.
Hang on. Batten down the hatches.
As you say, batten down the hatches.
That's exactly right. So we appreciate Anthony Macri joining us here on Wing Nation. We're going to step away. We're going to fast forward. We're going to preview Knoxville with the reigning champ, Austin McCarl. He joins us next.
Tony, do you even remember how to drive one of these?
It's not something you forget. You should know that. The drive to succeed, the need to win, the desire to be a champion. And we surround ourselves with partners that believe the same. Like Tony Stewart Racing, Sage Stewart strives to be the best in all they do. They work hard on the farm, in the packing facilities, and with their retail partners to provide high-quality apples and pears all year long.
You can compare apples to apples, but nothing compares to a Sage Fruit apple.
Winning quality in every bite.
Welcome back. It is Wing Nation, presented by Sage Fruit. We're going to spin forward here because it is the World of Outlaws. It is Knoxville. It's the Knoxville season opener because the season opener got rained out.
Yep.
So it's all hands on deck this weekend. I'll qualify this right off the bat. We're also watching the weather and who knows what's going to happen. But the reigning champ from Knoxville Raceway, the Country Builders number 88 car, Austin McCarl joins us. Hello, Austin. How are you?
Great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right. So your season to date, we'll talk a little Knoxville stuff. Your season to date, 13 races in the 410. You've got a couple of 360 wins. How are you feeling? How's your sense? How's your feel as you get ready to kick off the season there at the home front?
I'll definitely say I'm ready to get back to Knoxville. Yeah. A place I'm familiar with, for sure. It's honestly, this start of the year has kind of been everything I wanted it to be. I mean, I knew it'd be a little bit up and down, and but that was kind of the whole point. I've never really started racing that early. I mean, racing at the end of January in Florida was awesome. Was able to pick up a win. Felt like I was in contention to win all 3 nights there, and, you know, just cards didn't go my way or whatever. But, I mean, that's kind of all you can ask for is being fast and drop the 410 in and kind of get your butt kicked with the Outlaws and all those big teams and stuff. But, you know, really, I feel like the start of the year has just been more of a growing period for me as a mechanic, almost more than anything. Just going to, I mean, I think everywhere we've been, I've never really raced that besides at Peavey during COVID or whatever. And I really didn't even remember that. And I felt like we made huge strides. I mean, just getting qualified killed us a couple weeks ago with those guys. But I felt like our race car was really good. And I tried some stuff that I've been kind of wanting to try and felt like I took a step forward. So that's good. So, you know, it's been good. Last year I only won 3 races and I've already got 2 wins this year. And, you know, we haven't even opened Knoxville yet. So I'm looking forward to Knoxville in the start of the summer. And, I guess to answer your question, it's been kind of up and down, but that's kind of what I expected. And, I'm really looking forward to getting rolling around Knoxville, around home.
Austin, we just got off the phone with Anthony Macri, and one of the topics of conversation with him was being on the road. You mentioned getting your butt kicked by the World of Outlaws or High Limit, but how important is that? I know you said, you know, if you go in there with the right expectations, you use it as a little bit of research and learning. How important is it to race with those guys to kind of know where the bar is set?
Oh, I think it's huge. I mean, I don't know. I feel pretty confident rolling into Knoxville, just exactly what you said. I've raced 13 times or whatever it's been. And I mean, you're not racing, you know, podunk local shows, no offense. I mean, you're racing with the best guys in the world every night and the best mechanics in the world every night. I mean, the best teams in general. I mean, it seems like everybody in the world got money nowadays. I mean, it's kind of crazy, but I think it's, you know, you want to be the best. You got to be with the best and, you know, you got to get your butt kicked by the best a little bit, I think, in our game. And, you know, like I said earlier, for the first question, you know, mechanically, just learning how to mechanic and how to adjust. And, you know, some of these places we go to, you know, it's why the Outlaws are the best, right? They go see, you know, a different racetrack sometimes every night or every other weekend. And, you know, around home, you can kind of get complacent, or at least me going Knoxville, Huset, and you hone in on those 2 places or, you know, stuff around home. And I know how to have my car when I unload. And I know, you know, some adjustments to make during the night. You got to pay attention to the racetrack tendencies of the racetrack. And you go to these new places and the dirt's different everywhere you go. The shape's different everywhere you go. And you got to be on top of it 24/7. And I mean, that's why the Outlaws are the best and always will be the best. And you know, it's just,
I don't know. It's so hard. I think a lot of people think it's easy sitting from the stands. And, you know, I think that the common trending thing for the teams that are really kicking butt right now and succeeding is that they're great teams. I mean, it takes, you know, Eric with, you know, Brad Sweet in the 49 car, you know, I really look up to Ricky Warner and, you know, Paul Silva and those guys. And when you've got a great team as a driver, you hop in that thing and you attack the corner because you know you're going to be solid. You know, Phil Dietz and Macedo. I mean, so just trying to keep up with those teams. And for me, just trying to keep up with Phil Dietz and Ricky Warner and Paul Silva and those guys mechanically and, you know, new stuff that's coming out that they're not afraid to try. And sometimes I get afraid to try stuff. But again, going back to the question, you know, racing with these guys every night, they're not afraid to try stuff. And honestly, because, you know, you're going to race really soon. You know, one negative thing about racing around home sometimes is you got to wait till the next week to go race. And those guys are racing 2, 3, 4 times a week sometimes. And that's how you really grow. And, you know, the tires are turning some way and you can play with wings and blah, blah, blah. So, no, being with those guys is everything, I think.
You fascinated me with your answer, Austin, because you're the driver of the race car, but really you talked about the crew chiefs and you said you've learned a lot mechanically. It sounds like that's just been, it sounds like that is a real passion of yours, the nuts and bolts and the mechanical aspect of the race car as well.
Well, I mean, most of the time, to be honest with you, I feel like I'm racing those guys more than Carson Macedo or David Gravel or whoever. I mean, because I run my own team. I make every single decision on that race car. I mean, I fuel them. I mean, luckily sometimes I've got my boy, my hidden gem, Luke Heilman, that just lives in Knoxville, but he's got a full-time job and isn't with me all the time. He's great on motors. But, you know, I fuel the engine and I make every shock decision, bar decision, weight, you know, where the wheel's at, what wheel, blah, blah, blah. So most of the time, I mean, not to sound whatever, but, like, most of the time I feel like I'm racing those guys more than anything, just trying to keep up with Ricky and Phil and Paul and all these guys that are at the top of our sport mechanically wise. I mean, it's no, you know, Cody Jacobs. I mean, how dare I leave him out? But, you know, it's when the same cars are up front all the time, I mean, it's an army behind the, you know, David Gravel gets out of the car and, you know, gets the trophy and all the glory and whatever. And he's doing, you got to drive these things. This is still a sprint car. You know, this is still a driver sport, I think, too. But to compete with those guys every single night and, you know, outlaw racing, qualifying is huge. When you unload and go to these new places and you're comfortable to go attack someplace you've never been, I mean, that's got to be an amazing feeling. Hopefully I can have that one day. But I mean, yeah, you got to keep up with these guys. They're always trying stuff and they're always pushing the envelope to the next thing. And man, it's like, I don't know. It's tough. Sorry. Long-winded answer.
No, it's a great answer. And to follow that up, you know, Austin, it seems like it's kind of a passion of yours. Obviously, if you could have someone like Paul Silva or Ricky Warner working on your car and the finances were there, it would be a wonderful situation. But you know, I think back to people like you, your father certainly was like that, and Sammy Swindell. There's a lot of old-school drivers that were the crew chiefs. Is there a point that gets a little bit tricky because you know enough to be dangerous? Or I don't know. Yeah. I feel like, you know, you want to focus on your driving, but you're focusing on the car. That just seems like it's a lot for you.
Not to sound like weak-minded, but sometimes it is. I mean, like when you got a lot of other stuff on your mind, like honestly at Peavey last week, I felt like I had a really good crew. I got my one guy with me all the time, Tyler, and I got a buddy of mine, retired guy that drives my truck great, but just pops in every now and then when he can to help me out so I don't have to do all the truck driving. And I mentioned Luke earlier, that's Luke Heilman, that's been with me for the last couple of years, and he's great on engine stuff. And last week I had all three of them at Peavey, and it was awesome. I felt like I had a real World of Outlaw crew. I could go hang out in my t-shirt, man, with my wife and sign autographs. And yeah, it takes a ton off you mentally when you're not worried about, you know, should I put a half a turn in the high speed or what main pill's in the thing? Or I got to keep up with the air all night. And then I got to go do my tear offs. And then I got to go watch the racetrack and try and decide where I want the wheel. And, you know, should we change a bar? I mean, how did I feel hot lap? And sometimes it's hard, like, especially with the Outlaws, you hot lap and qualify so quick. You don't really have time, especially like a good example, a place like Peavey. You have to go to the infield, and having a good crew is huge because sometimes, A, you don't have time to get out of the car. And like I was in the later sets, you want to get out, talk to your guys. Oh, this is how I felt. You know, having somebody that you trust, I know it sounds, you know, dumb or whatever, but just having somebody that you trust, you can say, hey, put a half a turn in the right rear, and you know it's going to get done the right way is huge. And I mean, I know it's everyone on earth, at least in our game, is complaining about finding help and good help in it. But it's, I mean, there's only so many good guys out there and so many good guys that want to be on the road, you know, so it just makes it hard. And when you have those guys, yeah, it takes a huge load off of me, at least mentally, like when I'm at the racetrack. So, I mean, I've got a great nucleus when I go to Knoxville and stuff and, you know, a bunch of part-time guys, but it's awesome. I've got my core guys that I trust, and I wish I could have them all the time, but I don't. So I know it sounds like I'm making excuses, but yeah, I mean,
no.
Yeah, when you have a good crew and people you trust and, you know, it's huge, huge mentally, I think, for a driver, at least from my perspective.
Man, oh man, that is some good stuff. That's some wisdom there. I really appreciate you sharing that with us, Austin. Knoxville Raceway, how special is it to be a multi-time champion there? I know opening night got rained out, unfortunately, but just what's the vibe going into the season opener, whatever it looks like this year? It's the World of Outlaws. If it all happens this weekend, what's the vibe like there at the world famous Knoxville Raceway?
Oh, I think it's excitement, at least from my end. I'm pumped to get back. Knoxville's, I joked at the banquet last year, and the more traveling you do, the more you wish you could just be at Knoxville sometimes or take the Duncans with you everywhere you want. But, the vibe, at least around our camp, is super excited. Can't wait to get back to a place I'm familiar with. Obviously, I kind of have a solid idea how to load. It's going to be fun Thursday. I know we're talking about weather earlier. The weekend doesn't look great, but I think we'll definitely get Thursday practice in and, you know, try some things and try and get better and just, you know, get the season started off right. I wish they would have scheduled their normal opening night or opening weekend, the second week of April, like they normally do. It was 85 degrees and no wind and beautiful. And, of course, these last couple of weeks we're getting, you know, typical April weather. But, I'm super excited, super pumped to get the summer going. I've never raced this much this early in the year, especially with, you know, these tough of events and traveled as much as I have. So I feel great. I feel ready to go. Took a little weekend off after Knoxville got canceled last weekend, and yeah, I'm ready to get after it.
Austin, did you not go to the practice on Thursday night?
No, Friday.
Or Friday night. That's when it was.
Last Friday. It was, I don't know. It was kind of risk versus reward the way I saw it. I mean, we were canceling a race the next night for like 3 or 4 degrees cooler and looking at like where the weather and the air was going to be practicing. I kind of had some inside information that I thought that this Thursday thing was going to happen. So to me, it was just, why go risk it? Just wait, you know, just hang on to your stuff for 5 or 6 more days and go practice on Thursday. And then you're right into the mix with the Outlaws.
I saw a picture of you and your son Cole. You talked about the weekend off. It sounds like you and Cole and the family went and done stuff. He turned 1 in February. How's the little man doing? And how's fatherhood treating you?
He's kicking butt. Yeah, he turned 1 down at East Bay when we were down there for the King of the 360 stuff. And you know, it's been awesome. He's amazing. It's amazing watching him grow. It's amazing to me, like, just a couple weeks ago when he really started like walking, taking more than 1 or 2 steps at a time. And like, I leave for the weekend and come back and he's sprinting around tables just like in 3 days, how much better he got at walking. So no, he's amazing. Fatherhood's been awesome. It's awesome. A couple weeks ago we were at Peavely and Savannah Schatz whatever her last name is now. We might have to edit that out. But Savannah had her baby with her parked right next to us, and it made me miss mine so much. I was just like, I wish Cole was here so bad. But fatherhood's been amazing.
So how's the rest
Alyssa
of the family
does a great
doing?
Job. You sorry to interrupt you, but women are amazing. The moms and grandmas are
no doubt
definitely a lifesaver. That's for sure.
Well, no doubt.
Thank you. It is not quite the job of getting rewarded with trophies and fast times and all the good stuff. No. But hopefully, my daughter turns out to be a good human being. That's the reward. But yeah, it's certainly not an easy job. Speaking of the family, how's the rest of the family doing? How's your dad doing? I know he's doing a much more limited driving schedule, I believe. How's he handling that, and how's your mom doing?
Mom's doing great. She's kicking butt and holding down the fort and keeping everybody in line as much as she possibly can, as usual. But I don't know how my dad's handling cutting back. I definitely don't think he wants to, that's for sure. But I don't know. I think he's taking it pretty well. I think he likes going race with me and Carson sometimes more. And last week, him and Carson went to Burlington and had a good run. And I think he's got a pretty good gig lined up to run Knoxville 360s every week. And they were just here a couple of days ago at our shop. The race car is beautiful and looks like they've spent the money in the right places. So hopefully dad can have a good year. And it's great. Everything's around here is awesome.
That is cool. Yeah. Your dad, if there was one human being that I thought semi-retirement would not work for, it'd be your dad, just because as competitive as he is and as driven as he is, and I understand there's got to be moments where it's tough, but every time I see him when I go to the racetrack and catch up with you and he's there, you know, kind of hanging out of your car, he puts a good face on it, so he seems to be doing all right.
I think the first inkling I got that maybe your dad was ready to be a little bit more off the road was when he talked about not really wanting to race hard against you and your brother. It was like the first, remember
true.
That conversation?
Right about that. Yeah.
It was like the first inkling that it wasn't like Terry's going to do whatever he can to win and knock you out of the way type of Terry. It was like, I don't know. It was the first
there
time
was
I
like
thought.
Two competitors on the racetrack that he would give a little wiggle room to.
Yeah, yeah. And Terry McCarl, wiggle sense. Room, never heard
never.
Of that before.
Yeah.
I'm speaking from a few altercations I had with your dad.
Yeah.
Racing family is not fun.
Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah. No, I can't imagine. Well, Austin, our fingers are crossed for this weekend. Selfishly, my fingers are crossed because the plan is to fly out there. I hope the weather prognosticators are wrong and we see two great nights of racing. Maybe one night of racing or whenever it happens. We do wish you well and we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us here on Wing Nation.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime, guys.
There we go. Austin McCarl joining us on the Sage Fruit Hotline. You talk about a wide open family, man.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that is some good stuff. That really is. His mechanical savvy really impresses me.
Yeah, it's interesting. I always find that interesting and it was so neat that he opened up about it. And, you know, and he probably knows so much that unless you can hire one of the best mechanics out there, maybe he would, you know, then he trusts his own, but he also realizes you need the help because you can't be focused
can't
on driving. Yeah. It's interesting.
Fascinating stuff. Really, truly is. We need to step away. When we come back, more Wing Nation. Stay with us.
Tony, do you even remember how to drive one of these?
It's not something you forget. You should know that. The drive to succeed, the need to win, the desire to be a champion. And we surround ourselves with partners that believe the same. Like Tony Stewart Racing, Sage Fruit strives to be the best in all they do. They work hard on the farm, in the packing facilities, and with their retail partners to provide high-quality apples and pears all year long.
You can compare apples to apples, but nothing compares to a Sage Fruit apple.
Winning quality in every bite.
Welcome back. It is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit. Wow, what a pair of visits.
Yeah.
With Anthony Macri and Austin McCarl. Both of them just gave us that. That's what I just love is the insight they share with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just cool. It's just really good. So fun stuff, that's for sure. Mentioned there as I was wrapping up with Austin, my fingers crossed that I'm going to Knoxville. Of course, weather's going to play a factor in this. I will say this, Aaron, okay? We've sat here, we've done Wing Nation for years and years, and I did not realize how spoiled rotten I am with my little NASCAR gig, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I go to the airport, I fly someplace, and if we get rained out, our hotels are all done, the plane still leaves after the race and everything else. I have had a stint with High Limit Racing in Texas, to a degree Talladega Short Track, and then with Knoxville where I'm making my own plans, and we have all the drivers say, well, we watch the weather. And, you know, we get in the debate, is a track better to cancel 9 o'clock in the morning or a day earlier or wait and try to hang out? I am telling you, I am one lowly traveler, okay? Looking at making plans to go to Texas. I was going to do Friday and Saturday, and then Friday got rained out, so I had to change everything to do Saturday and Sunday. I had to change plane tickets in a rental car. Woe is me.
Yeah,
when
but
I think
that's
about,
not as easy
no,
as
but,
one might want it to be.
No, but I didn't have to change the entire travel for the entire car, crew, team, transporter, everything else. I didn't. Okay, let's say I get somewhere and we get rained out. I didn't get my car all muddy. I got maybe muddy shoes. I just this whole process. So I'm sitting here now just absolutely fretting that, well, if they cancel, are they going to cancel early? Are they going to cancel late? Are they not going to cancel? Is that weather going to be
wrong?
Well,
then you can't always get a fully refunded plane ticket. And then some hotels have, their cancellation policy is different.
Exactly. And it's like,
it'll make it very difficult.
Well, it gave me a whole new respect because I'm doing it for one radio guy that I could be fine anywhere, anytime, even in the middle of a monsoon. I have no issues with it. But I think about what these teams go through and what these traveling teams go through.
Rainouts are not fun.
No, I just...
And the worst are after hot laps. Gosh,
yes,
almighty.
When you get you get all the mud, you get all the downside and none of the upside.
The trailer's filthy, the car's filthy, filthy, you got to get the car wash.
I just have just this little snippet of traveling on my own life. This little taste of it. I know Danny Dietrich is really, really adamant about this. Trex, if you're going to cancel. And man, I used to be the hang in there until 9 o'clock. And if, I know it's, you know, hang in there. But man, I'll tell you what, it's a whole lot easier. It's a whole lot easier changing flights from home than the middle of some airport somewhere. And that's just me. And I have a lot of respect
for
it.
The airlines don't make it easy.
No, they don't. No, the lot of, exactly.
Let's be honest.
Well, but then you think about it from a team perspective, burning all that fuel.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's just so much to it. So I mention this because this is the segment where we do the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame birthday calendar. Want to mention this. If all things go well, Bob Baker and I are putting together a little Saturday afternoon show. We're going to get a couple people up there on the second floor. We got some microphones, and we're going to do some interviews there at the Sprint Car Hall of Fame. We're still working on the logistics of it, may stream this live on a Facebook Live thing, may not, just depends on whether we can do it or not, whether, you know, manpower and people. So I say that now because we get into the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. I am hoping Saturday afternoon to be talking to a couple of drivers and folks and seeing everybody at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. We do this with a birthday calendar. Later this week, Louis Rusty Espinoza, Ed Shepard, Earl Baltus, Arthur Chevrolet. Tomorrow, Kenny Jacobs' birthday.
My buddy.
Love it. And today would have been the birthday of Bob Berman, okay? I don't know the stats on this, but this may be the oldest birthwise of anybody in the Hall of Fame. There might be someone. He was born in 1884. Phew. Okay. He drove a Jackson. Jackson was a make of a car in a race, a 50-mile race, beating Henry Ford and Barney Oldfield. Okay. He became known as a pretty good driver. He was part of the Buick factory racing team, set speed records down at Florida, at Ormond Beach, Daytona, set speed records down there, and set a speed record in 1911 that held until 1999. Wow. 1912, running all over the place, won 43 of 53 races. The AAA series, the American Auto Club of America, or the Auto Club of America, or whatever that is, did a lot of that. And so many times we talk about it. 1960 lost his life in a wreck at Corona, California. But that's the beauty of the Sprint Car Hall of Fame, is that Bob Berman is forever enshrined in the Sprint Car Hall of Fame. So we would invite you to join the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Membership is just $25. Yep. Everyone's like, well, you know, they're building buildings and they've got this and they've got that. And it's great that people participate on the big level. Yep. It is great. But you and I can participate on the $25 membership level. And you get a discount on all purchases at the store.
I love the store.
I know you love the store. I know you love the discounts. But I'm telling you, you are supporting the mission.
Yes.
You're supporting so that we can tell these stories. And then we can go there for weekends like this weekend and walk through and see the history. So $25 membership. SprintCarHOF.com, www.SprintCarHOF.com. Erin, we don't have to wait long. We've got racing tonight.
High Limit Racing. I do love the Tuesday night races, and it's at one of my favorite tracks, Riverside International Raceway.
Have you raced there?
I have, years and years and years ago, because I'm old.
I walked in, and it was a rain out, but I walked in there, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, heartbeat
still.
It's such
a neat place.
Oh my gosh. It is unreal.
I think that's the place where Stenhouse still had a qualifying sheet. It was like, you know, old school handwritten before us old folk, and I had out-qualified him.
Really?
Years ago, he pulled it out. He was like, I have this still.
That's funny. Yeah. Of note on this one, Landon Crawley, who's got a lot of laps there, Jason Sides, this is one of their four. This makes total sense because this is a Memphis-based team.
Yeah.
Jason's just east of Memphis there. And so this is one of their four. So it'd be cool to see how Landon does.
Yeah.
this may be the first track he's been to.
He's been to before.
Yeah. So, but it's going to be a big, I saw the entry list. It's a great entry list. Sammy Swindell on the entry list. So we'll see if he's still winning tonight. Sammy wins this one tonight, and it's going to just burn the whole sprint car world down. Yeah, absolutely. World of All and NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars. We talked about this. Knoxville Raceway this weekend. All fingers are crossed. Let's just hope. Central Pennsylvania, a big, big weekend. We could see how the Concrete Kid, Anthony Macri, does.
Yeah, of course, Williams Grove and Port Royal has the Keith Kaufman Classic. 15,000 to win. Lincoln and Baps also running.
Nice stuff. MOA, Friday night, Lincoln, Illinois. Saturday night, Red Hill Speedway in Sumner, Illinois. And the Fast Series is Muskegon County in Ohio.
Muskegon. That's another, it's a good one.
Muskegon. Exactly. Yeah.
It's not like one of your top
like
faves.
Sepulpa. You know, it's not like
in Sheboygan. All your favorites.
Oh, my favorite spots. Yeah. It's fun times. It really is. And there are, those are just some of them. There are a lot of races this weekend. So get out to your local sprint car track. Really, truly, really, truly is important you do that. So, and if you're going to Knoxville, stop by and say hi and follow along with the Hall of Fame social media and our Wing Nation social media. If indeed we're able to get there and pull the Saturday afternoon thing off, we'll be seeing everybody on the second floor at the Sprint Car Hall of Fame. And it's going to be fun.
Very cool.
It's going to be awesome. Great, great stuff. That's for sure. Speaking of great stuff, again, Anthony Macri and Austin McCarl, drivers.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. You we're all busy. Everyone's got stuff going on. But not only thank you for coming on, but thank you for really deep, thoughtful answers. Mm-hmm. I marvel at Anthony and Austin, the depth that they went.
Yeah.
They could have answered the questions in short answers and been perfectly good. They went long answers.
Yeah, they could give some like candid and, or some canned
PR,
corporate answers.
Corporate answers.
I mean, you don't ever get any of those.
No, we don't. Sprint cars are good. You're good. But
no, boy, I was meaning maybe in your full time job.
Once in a while, yes. Once in a while, my full time job will get once in a while. Love the authenticity. Really, truly do. So you can follow our social channels, Facebook page, group, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. All of our shows are on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel. We have all of that. Instagram. Craig's got an Instagram folder for us, too. I got to get, he gave me the handle for it, and then I'm a dummy and forgot it. So, because I'm really starting to like Instagram
a lot more.
I'm starting to like Instagram a lot more than some of the other platforms.
Yeah, you don't always have to get their opinions. You just get the visual.
No, you just get the visual. And sprint cars
don't
are
like
good.
Other people's opinions.
Sprint cars are good for pictures, aren't they?
Yes.
Yes. So there you go. So we're all over the place. That's for sure. She's Erin Everham. I'm Steve Post. We appreciate Anthony Macri and Austin McCarl for joining us this week. More important than all of that, though, thank you for joining us here on Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.